Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Miss Mel. How are you doing this Monday?
Miss Mel, I'm Melody.
Okay, Melody. How are you, Miss Melody?
I'm just fine. And how are you? You doing
I'm
all right?
I'm doing well. Doing just fine. I had no complaints. A pretty day. Got a few things done today, so I'm content.
Oh, well, good. Well, good.
And Marcia's in a good mood, so I'm really content.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to keep her in a good mood. That's your job. That's your mission.
And that's 24/7 job the last 51 years, believe me.
But you got it. Well, what do they say? Happy wife, happy life.
There you go.
There you go.
Whatever you do, you don't make the cook mad.
No, you don't. Well, but you should be cooking sometimes. You don't cook?
I'm not a very good cook. I can make a good egg. Other than that, I'm pretty much lost.
Do you do the dishes?
Oh, well, we got a dishwasher, so it ain't too hard to do.
But do you do?
I load it, though. I load it.
Yes. Do you load it?
Oh, yeah. I do help out. I really do.
Okay.
I truly do. She's a good lady, and I try to keep her somewhat content.
Oh, good. All right. So,
I'm trained very well.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Go, Marcia.
Okay. Now you go.
All right. Let's see what gold, see if we can say go gold. Gold, no, can't. Down, it was up higher this morning, but it struggled today, down $5. $1,973. Silver was down 22 cents at $23.71. Platinum was up $4, though, at $1,078. Palladium was down 22 at 1522. The USDX today, of course, was stronger by a whole .01, 103.22. Crude oil was up 26 cents at 71.81. And the paper markets today, the Dow was down 140 points. S&P was basically unchanged. NASDAQ was up 62 points. Europe was mixed. The FTSE was positive. Everything else was a little to the downside, but not much. Not much. Asia, pretty much positive. 10-year yield, that's moving up 3.72%, 3.72%. And let's take a look at natural gas was down 7%, 2.398. So, Butch, the big news is all they're talking about is the debt ceiling.
Yeah, we got some news on that, too. You're right. Panic time. Everybody panic. Everybody hurry up and panic. Call this panic time. I mean, well, we'll discuss it more later on, but I don't think we miss them a whole lot. They did shut down for a while. Matter of fact, I think if it happened, it may hurt a little way some way. It's been a long run and turn out for our betterment for sure.
Well, it's just not shutting down. It's not shutting down the government. It's actually not paying the bills. Two different, I think they've already shut down or they've already done. I don't know if they'll shut down the government to extend the debt ceiling a little more or something like that. But she's already doing some sort of special circumstance financing and so forth. So that's where I thought before, usually whenever we got to this problem, they'd shut the government down before you actually had the default.
I don't remember.
So the actual default is they're not going to pay those treasuries. That's the problem. It's just not shutting down the government. It's they're actually not going to pay the bills. And I heard a number today that on the just the interest alone is close to $1 trillion. This is just the interest alone.
Yes. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And it took them a long time to get here, but every 2 years you go through this or thereabouts, you go through the same political football thing. Well, we're not going to raise it till you do this. And they end up with changing nothing, really. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a back-and-forth game they play, and both of them give in a little bit, and nothing ever changes. It never has. It's not going to now.
No, absolutely not. So, what was interesting, though, is if Biden and McCarthy agree on this debt ceiling, it still has to go through the House.
Yes.
So, depending on who's in there and so forth, they can still, if they want to be ornery about it, they can still reject it, even though Biden and McCarthy made an agreement. It just depends on how much they love McCarthy. And I guess McConnell was also could go in there and change things up and make things happen, but he hasn't done that either. So who knows? Who cares?
That's going to be the frustrating part of it. I mean, a lot of people are still concerned about it, but I've been through it so many times in my lifetime that I don't panic anymore. There's no point in it because it's a political football. It's all about who's going to gain upper hand because of it. It's not about saving the country. It's not about really cutting debt. It's a political football is all it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, and his return back from Japan, it's interesting. We talked a little bit about on Friday. I don't know if you have anything in the news today.
About Japan?
Mm-hmm, yes.
No, I don't have much about that, no.
And why not?
I just didn't have time to get that. That's real things covered,
I'm just kidding. But what was interesting...
No, folks, you'll fuss at me, get off the air. You wait and see. Go
ahead. No, I won't. I'm going to see if I can't find an article, but there was a interesting, the timing of everything, where he was just over there, and now there's some big Japan company coming in and investing in a tech company, buying out a tech company. So that was a done deal over there too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just deals. I'm so sick of our country making deals. Our country is not, it's not to be sold, but
I think it's too late. It's already sold.
I know it, but when you see this stuff and all everybody focuses on is, distractions.
That's all it is.
But they're trying to get them to buy some banks, and I'm thinking, what an appropriate time to allow Japan to come in and buy some banks when they're all failing here. So they're coming in here. Instead of failing, instead of the banks failing, they're coming in here scooping them up at you know, bargain basement prices just to keep them from failing.
When the country sells its financial institutions, there's not much left.
No. No.
There's not much left. Except our homes. That's probably already on the chopping block.
Yep. I'm sure it is. So, what do you have for us? Any place you want to?
I got a lot of good. But I do want to share, because this story, this just to me is amazing. And shows, well, Jay-Z and Beyonce purchased the most expensive home in California history. Won't sell current Bel Air mansion. I just had to share this. When I read this and saw the pictures, two people standing there, and look at, appreciate their look on their face, like, who are you, peons? But anyway, celebrity entrepreneur Jay-Z and his superstar wife Beyonce, known for their support of left-wing politicians like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden, are taking possession of the most expensive home in California history with their purchase of the new Malibu Palace. According to TMZ, the couple purchased a nearly 40,000 square foot home. Mm-hmm. Now, we all need one that size, of course. But anyway, for the princely sum of $200 million, being the state's previous private home purchase record of $177 million, it will be the nation's second most expensive private home purchase behind a property in New York City, which sold for $238 million, a Central Park South penthouse purchased by billionaire Ken Griffin in 2019. The couple seems to have negotiated their way out of setting a national record, though, as the mansion was listed for an incredible $295 million. The house sits on an 8-acre bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean in the Paradise Cove area. The home was designed by Japanese architect Tadao Ando, who also designed the house that Kanye West bought in Malibu. Took original owner William Bell, who is the foremost art collector in the world, 15 years to complete this construction. The couple already had owned an Bel Air mansion that they bought for $88 million in 2017 before pumping an additional $12 million into its upgrades. So, according to TMZ, they will not sell that home. So, Mel, just in case you're interested, you can probably get a home something like about that size up there, too, if you want to go and cough up the money.
No, I think I'd rather move to Florida since the NAACP has issued a travel advisory.
Oh, I saw that. I love that. I love that. I mean, and you heard what DeSantis said, or basically said that's a bunch of nonsense. But anyway, so I love that. I love it.
And you know what's interesting? I went to the NAACP. I just wanted to see who was on their board and everything. You know, there isn't one white person on there.
That makes sense.
How can they do that? If we had an organization for white people.
Oh, my.
She think,
Oh, my. Yeah, it's really amusing in the sense that it's so much nonsense. It's foolishness beyond words. But what can you say? And I say go to DeSantis. Not because it's black people. I don't care if it's black people, homosexual people. Go to DeSantis. Let us live in a free society where everybody's feeling isn't hurt every time you burp. I mean, it's just getting tiresome, really tiresome. It truly is.
Well, I think you saw where Tim Scott announced his presidency campaign.
Yes, I did. I did. Yes, I did.
He might have a good he could very well make it.
Well, you know, he's a little bit on the conservative side. I like that. But you know,
he's very conservative.
Yes, he is. I never thought I'd ever say this, but Robert Kennedy Jr. Is a Democrat. I like some of the things he says. So you never know, right?
You never know. I don't know what his views are on his social.
I don't,
know,
either.
Abortions, and you know, he's still a Democrat, so.
Yes, he is. I had no idea. I had no idea what all of DeSantis' views are and everything, but I will find out what they are eventually. I will look into them. I'm not in too big a hurry right now. There's too much between here and even the primary.
Well, I think DeSantis lost his momentum. He screwed up, or whoever was doing his campaign. Sometimes I wonder who are these people that they hire to run their campaigns, because it's like, I think he really waited too long. And I think because he was on a roll. And then it was just, now it's like people are tired of it. People are looking elsewhere. And so.
According to all the polls that I've read, Trump is still by far the front runner. And that's disgusting, but that's just the way it is. You know, I can't, what can I say? Just the way it is. But, you know, it's DeSantis, from what I've seen, I really like. But, I don't know his background at all. I haven't had a chance to look into it. But Trump right now is leading the poll over him by double digits, they say. So, I don't know. We'll see. We will see.
Well, I'll guarantee you, Tim Scott got Larry Ellison backing him. He's the guy who owns Oracle.
Right.
He's got some big money backing him already. So
we'll see what happens.
He's going to have the money to compete with Trump's money. And they said that there has never been a Republican that has just entered the race that has had as much money as he has now. I think he's got, I don't know, a ton of it. But I can't imagine it'd be $200 million, but he's got a lot. Could be.
Well, time will tell. Plenty of time to go that way, I guess. But, you know, back to the real world, out of politics, back to the real world. This is a story that's kind of disheartening. Kansas farmers abandoned wheat fields after extreme drought. Now, I didn't know they were having drought in Kansas. I did not know that.
Farmers in Kansas.
I didn't know that. I knew the Midwest had been getting a lot of snow and rain for a while there. So I don't know what happened. But farmers in Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of wheat used to make bread, are abandoning their crops after a severe drought and damaging cold ravaged farms. They're intentionally spraying wheat fields with crop-killing chemicals and claiming insurance payouts more than normal, betting the grain is not worth harvesting. Reuters found on a three-day tour of the state, other growers are turning over dismal-looking fields to cattle for grazing. Abandoning fields will lead to a smaller U.S. wheat supply and the world's number five wheat exporter, with stocks seen falling to a 16-year low. Higher rates of abandonment deal an economic blow to farm towns and force wheat buyers to adjust procurement plans by buying the staple grain elsewhere. Nicely, winter wheat farmers plan to abandon 33% of the acres they planted. Now, folks, Ukraine's at war. Their production's going way down, and they are a huge exporter of grain. They're at war. So we're going to lose most of our grain here out of Kansas. 33% of the acres they decide not to plant. The highest percentage since World War I, Melody, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said on May 12th. Kansas farmers are expected to abandon about 19% of the acres planted in late last autumn, up 10% last year, and 4% in 2021, according to the report. The farmers, grain traders, are representatives of major food companies who traversed the state on an annual crop tour last week, warned of an even greater percentage of unharvested acres. Crop conditions point toward an outcome similar to 1989, when farmers did not harvest 20% of the wheat they planted, said Justin Gilpin, chief executive of the Kansas Wheat Commission and tour leader. You have a wheat crop that didn't come up, he said. Soaring prices for hay also pressure wheat farmers not to harvest their fields for grain so they can be fed to the cattle. Kansas farmers are expected to produce just 191 million bushels of wheat this year, the smallest since 1963. And the folks, the population is a whole lot smaller in 1963. According to the latest monthly government forecast, participants on the wheat quality control tour predicted even smaller harvest, 178 million bushels. Uncertainty of the size of harvest largely centers on how many acres will be abandoned. Grain buyers and tour leaders said some farmers with dead wheat will plant sorghum in another attempt at crop production this spring. Insurance providers must have a chance to appraise fields before crops are destroyed or abandoned. Adjusters are busy visiting fields. Fram Farmland, a major grain producer in Colby in western Kansas, expects it will not harvest about 47% of the roughly 9,500 acres of wheat planted, said Christian Wilson, who does field operations and agrimony for the farm. At least 60% of the crop is expected to be abandoned around Lacon in southwestern Kansas, said Gary Miloszewski, a farmer and a scout on the tour. That doesn't sound good at all. Not at all. The lowest since 1963, Melody. That has been a long time ago since that happened. And think about, and we can't get it brought in from Ukraine, like I said, because they're at war right now in other places probably. that can make a little dent on the grocery bill, couldn't it?
Well, it certainly will, and I think people are now really beginning to feel the impacts in their budgets and everything. So this might be one busy Memorial Day, but we'll have to see how July and the rest of the summer goes, because I keep hearing reports about how things are just slowing up. So we'll be back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run.
And welcome back. I'm Melody Cederstrom here with Pastor Butch Paul. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. Next week will be Memorial Day, so we will be playing a rebroadcast for next Monday. So, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. So I'm just giving you all a heads up on that. And what's next, Butch?
I was going to say we're all invited to your house for a cookout, right?
No, we're going to go to Jay-Z's and Beyonce's house, new house.
Well, yeah, they could probably squeeze us in somewhere there, I guess. But anyway, unbelievable. But anyway, yeah, you know, everybody's talking about the debt and the default and all that. Well, I'm going to read this article. Not much. It's a rather long article, but I just got a few paragraphs I want to share. Definite debt default. Now, we'll get into the article, but what this boils down to is we're going to default on the debt one day. There's no way around it, folks. It's going to happen. It's funny that we do this song and dance about raising the debt ceiling every couple of years. It's about as hollow, insane, and meaningless as both our monetary and fiscal policy in this country. So in that respect, it's warranted. It's also a great fodder for the two-party political match that takes place on the daily, so that as to keep us peons distracted from the ugly reality of many of the decisions our country collectively makes. The idea being pushed by both parties that default will be catastrophic for markets is hilarious for several reasons. First, He'd been in a perpetual state of default as measured by the wholly unsustainable fiscal and monetary policy for decades now. Second, the shock to our financial system that would result from finally calling out our ongoing default by its name publicly is long overdue and could oddly be one of the best things that could happen to us. And I'm not trying to be sensational. I'd say up front that I don't expect a default to happen, though I'm intrigued by the facts that, one, my friend Larry Leopard told me over the weekend they are going to a default, and two, the results of a Twitter poll that I put up a couple days ago show he isn't alone in his Methodist thinking. The debt ceiling was put in place for a reason. To stop us from spending beyond our means. And Melody, when does that ever happen?
Well,
when has it happened that we never spent beyond our means as a nation?
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, we have.
Well, yeah.
But, no, let me finish. No, we have. But there was accountability with gold.
Yeah,
they
that's
wouldn't
true.
Have been able, before they took us off the gold standard, no, we wouldn't be $32 trillion plus in debt.
That's why they took us off, obviously.
That's why they took us off. No accountability.
So, to repeat that sentence, the debt ceiling was put in place for a reason, to stop us spending beyond our means, which is exactly what we're doing. Just like the gold standard, it was supposed to be a guardrail, as Mel just said, folks, that we implemented to prevent our own destruction. Instead, it became one of many deck chairs on the Titanic that we continue to shuffle around, proudly and in the absence of discomfort and real solutions, while our capsized financial ship slowly sinks to the ocean of its inevitability. Now, that's a very well put. Melody said it before we get to the article on gold. They took us off the gold standard back in 1971 under Nixon. And immediately we had skyrocketing prices in this country. But we went on to the petrodollar up until the last 10 years or so, a little longer. That started shrinking. Now the dollar is losing its stance all over the world. Its standing has dropped almost nothing. Nobody wants it. And folks, if you think inflation has been bad the last couple of years, you wait. China is starting to trade, to do business with nations now in yuans. They don't want a dollar any longer. We're going to see an inflation rate you're not going to believe in this country. Melly, am I right on that?
You are absolutely correct.
And there's no way that we can even prepare ourselves for it. I mean, there's nothing we can do. Folks, if you're not preparing now, if you don't start now, if you're not already started, you're already behind the curve. You better start now. Start up a call Melody. Start off by trying to find some good food sources. I'm not saying that it's going to happen next week or next month or even next year, but folks, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. The dollar is collapsing every day. That's what inflation is, a collapsing dollar. And we don't even have a dollar. We have a fiat currency. A dollar is a way to measure in silver. So we don't have dollars. We have pieces of fiat paper in our wallets we call dollars. Melody, that's not even close to what dollar described in the Constitution, is it?
No, it isn't. Not at all.
So, folks, they made idiots out of us. They just took us right in. I said before, 1964, when they started now it's going to take silver out of the coins. I was just a young and I had no idea what that meant. But I asked my dad before, why did you let him do that? So we trusted government. Now he knew better. After he said that, years later, he found out they were stupid. But it's the way it was. They did it. The people didn't say anything. So they did it. And then they started taking the silver coins out of circulation. So there you go.
I mean, inflation really did start creeping in even prior to those dates, but it was minimal. But housewives
minimal.
Knew.
Yes.
Housewives knew. They saw what the price of food was doing, what meats were doing. They couldn't buy steaks anymore. You know, they didn't eat hamburger in those days. You had steaks, roast, beef. Yeah, I mean, you know, you had soup. You had great cuts of meat. You didn't eat hamburger. I mean, I can't even remember. I don't even think I had a hamburger, you know, until McDonald's came around. You know, I mean, you know, if we went out to eat with my grandparents on a Friday night, we did eat hot dogs. But and hamburgers were mainly for picnics. That was it.
I remember a true story.
It wasn't a meal.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't a meal.
a true story, and this is a true story, actually happened. I read the story, I had the name, don't remember the names. A young boy went over to stay at the friend's house one night, and they had steak for dinner. And the boy's dad and mom always had hamburger. And he asked his daddy one night, said, "How come they have steak and we have hamburger?" He said, "Son, please don't think bad of them, because some people can't afford to get their meat ground." That's what he covered it. That's a true story. But anyway, Florida does another good thing. Florida law puts a brake on hiring of undocumented workers. Of course, this story wants to spin it to make you feel sad for him, and I do feel sorry for him. But folks, let him do it right or go home. Benjamin Perez cleans houses in Miami for a living. Like tens of thousands of others in Florida workforce, he toils without legal papers. The future of this off-the-books labor force today sits in limbo due to recently approved immigration law. First off, I hate taxes. I do. I hate them. And a lot of them are absolutely totally unconstitutional and immoral. But off-the-books labor is against law to start with. But now it's in a recently approved immigration law, which they're saying illegal immigration law. If you're in the nation legally, folks, you wouldn't have this problem. Conservative Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on May 10th signed what he called the strongest anti-illegal immigration bill in this nation to bar undocumented workers from taking jobs in the southern U.S. state. Starting July 1st, businesses with 25 more employees will be required to use a federal e-verify system to check the legal status of all new employees. Businesses would face heavy fines for defying the law and employing undocumented migrants. Folks, that's illegal aliens, not undocumented migrants, but illegal aliens. Perez, 40, has lived and worked in the United States for 2 decades, but finds his future uncertain. He's had 2 decades, Billy, to become a citizen.
Yeah, but you know what, Butch? Some of those laws already exist.
They do, but they haven't fulfilled them at all.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
He left his native Mexico looking to earn more as a skilled mason. An injury caused him to change jobs. He lives in downtown Miami with his Nicaraguan wife and nephew of hers, Joe Atamoreno. All three work. None of them enjoy legal status. They're here illegally. They're breaking federal and state laws. For those of us who come without papers, the desire to work remains, but the path to finding a job has become narrow. Good. Who asked, says Perez, to use a pseudonym, lest migratory authorities catch him. Well, if he's scared of being caught, why didn't he become? Now, I know this sounds harsh, and it may take time, and you know it doesn't happen overnight. But if he were here legally, he'd be just fine. He wouldn't worry about him and his wife and his nephew coming in and getting caught. I say go, Mr. DeSantis. I wish you were close. I'd like to shake your hand on that one. Good for you. It's time that we enforce the laws, folks. There's no point in having immigration laws if you're not going to enforce them. Why have laws at all?
We do, and we don't have, they don't enforce hardly anymore.
So why have them at all? They're not going to enforce them. What used to have them? So good for Mr. DeSantis. I'm liking some of the things I'm seeing this man doing. I really am. And I'm not heartless, folks. I'm not. But I wouldn't expect to go to Mexico and be allowed in the country and even work here unless I become a citizen after a period of time. I understand maybe for 3 or 4 months, perhaps you'd be there, but working towards becoming a legal citizen of the country.
That's why we have green cards. That's why we have all kinds of things for these folks. Yes, they're in limited numbers. You're right. They are. So, but it's still no excuse to come across the border.
It is not. So that article, I'm sure if the guy wrote it would ever hear me, Peggy Langer, but I really don't care. Fox News starts layoffs following disastrous month. Investigative unit first on chopping block. Fox News folks is paying for getting rid of their most famous talk show host and more. Fox News continues to implode, following the company's decision to fire their top host, Tucker Carlson. The company is also taking history settling with Dominion, a voting software company, for over $750 million. According to anonymous reports, Fox News just let go its investigative unit. That comes after the company continues to hemorrhage viewers. The latest numbers show Fox News has lost nearly two-thirds of their primetime audience following Carson's firing. The folks, let that sink in. Man, talking about it's got enough, you know, spite your face. Two-thirds of the lower audience has left since Carson's firing. The rank and file journalists are getting let go. Meanwhile, upper management are sitting pretty while they are the execs responsible for the Dominion debacle, one Fox employee tells Rolling Stone, which has confirmed the unit has been axed. We are the sacrificial lambs. Yes, layoffs have happened, another staffer confirms, and continue to happen. I don't feel sorry for Fox either. I certainly don't. On the Dominion thing, to me, that deal was never truly decided in an honest way. But getting rid of Carlson was the stupidest thing they ever done. And obviously, it's starting to tell now, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. And I'll tell you what, I think you're going to see Fox come out with a brand new... it's interesting, like, this is all coming about prior, not really close to the election, but it's coming up. And, it's going to be interesting to see who else goes. And I'll tell you what, Sean Hannity moved into that 8 o'clock spot. He can't carry it.
No,
I don't even know why. I mean, he's, oh, my gosh. They all parrot one another. They do exactly what these other stations do. They just parrot one another, and there's reasons why they did what they did, and it's deeper than what they're telling us that they did.
And I wonder if they really regret doing that yet. I just curious about that. They had to know what would happen. They can't be that totally ignorant or unintelligent to know that wouldn't cost. I wouldn't think they could anyway. I may be surprised, but I don't think so. Do you remember, I remember as a young boy.
I don't think they had a choice. I think that was just part of their deal with the Dominion. And yeah, I think it was all part. It was, yeah, the timing is everything. And I think that was backdoor negotiations.
I guess that's possible. I don't know. I guess that is possible.
I mean, we won't know, but I can't imagine it'd be anything else.
Have you ever drove through Pittsburgh back in the, well, you're not old enough. You're only 39 years old. But back when I was a young boy, a few times I've been to Pittsburgh. I mean, that's been a long time ago. Do you remember the steel mills up here? Huge, huge, huge steel mills and refineries.
I heard about them.
Oh, you heard about them. I mean, they were huge, and it was an iron-making city, steel-making city, and people were employed there by the tens of thousands. You go through there now, and I was up through there, it's been some years ago now, but all the buildings are actually falling in. The windows are breaking, they're broken out of them, there's nothing left but a shell. Well, guess who's taking over the world leadership on steel, folks? China dominates the world's biggest steel producers. Steel is a critical component of modern industrial economy, essential for the structure of buildings, automobiles, and many other appliances and infrastructure used in our daily lives. Visual capitalist Nikilo Conte created this infographic using data with the World Steel Association to visualize the world's top steel-producing countries and highlights China's ascent to the top as it now makes up more than half of the world's steel production. Now, let me sink that in. China makes more than half of the world's steel production. That used to be the U.S., folks, not forever ago. The state of global steel production is this. The global steel production in 2022 reached 1,878 million tons, barely surpassing the pre-pandemic production of 1,875 tons in 2019. Now, here's how it's broken down. Now, there's 78 million tons. China, Melody, made 1,013 of those. Listen to that. Out of 1,878 million tons, China made 1,013. India made 124. Japan made 89. U.S. made 80. Right behind the U.S. is Russia at 71. And South Korea at 65. So we made 15 more tons of steel last year than South Korea.
Hmm.
How pathetic is that?
Pretty pathetic.
I mean, that was one of the biggest industries in this country. And steel was needed for everything, as the article said, that we need it for everything. So what we do now, we import it. From who? China. Why not? I mean, folks, we have undercut ourselves. We've destroyed our production foundation. And we can no longer sustain ourselves. We cannot feed ourselves. Get that through our head today, folks. America is crippled. She cannot sustain herself in any way possible. America is done as far as a nation that can feed itself. It's over. I'm sorry to say that, but it's over. And I can't do anything about it. It happened. Ross Perot warned about it back in the 80s. It's happened, and it started long before then. America is no longer a nation of the world that it once was, that actually had something to say. We're now a consumer nation with nothing to build on. Melody?
And just wait till the robots come.
There you go.
8 million jobs off the books. But we're going to be off this program, and while we're taking a break, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is going to save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Is it time to go back again? Well, I know our love will never end. Back with all my friends to that wonderful 65 motherland, rock and roll, simple and clean. Oh, I still can hear.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What do you have next for us, Butch?
Well, you may have saw this already, but Meta, which is, of course, Facebook, slapped with $1.3 billion fine over EU data transfers to U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy authorities from the European Union have slapped a record-breaking fine of $1.3 billion on Meta platforms, the parent company of Facebook, for sending user data to the U.S. authorities, to the U.S., authorities have also given a deadline by which Meta must cease all personal data transfers across the Atlantic. Why would they do it in the first place? Were they getting paid for that? I just wonder about that. The Irish Data Protection Commission revealed that Meta breached the General Data Protection Regulation when it transferred the personal data of Europeans to the U.S. without sufficiently protecting them from surveillance programs operated by the U.S. government. Now, let folks repeat that. Surveillance programs operated by the freest country in the world, the U.S. government. The freest people in the world, anyway. The Irish Privacy Watchdog pointed out concerns about NSA spy programs. They said that Meta's data transfers didn't address the risk to the fundamental rights and freedoms of Facebook's European users, resulting in a 1.2 billion euro fine. This amount eclipsed the 746 million euro fine by the EU, against Amazon over privacy breaches. The Irish privacy watchdogs have Meta must also suspend any future transfer of personal data to the U.S. and has about 6 months to halt the unlawful processing, including storage in the U.S. of European user data. The ban on data transfers was widely expected to be expected once prompted the U.S. firm to threaten a total withdrawal from the EU, Bloomberg said. So, okay, I don't know what can I say, folks. If you're on any kind of social media, do not expect privacy. Don't expect privacy. There is no privacy on internet or social media. And Melly, is that pretty fair?
I've been saying that for years. You know, everybody goes these different programs, and some might be a little more than others, and, you know, where they don't track you as much and so forth, but they're still going to track. It's still there. It all goes up into a stupid cloud, and it all goes wherever that might be, and it still goes to, and you still have people controlling all of these, and look who controls all these computers. You know, it all, it's just...
And on top of that, we just want to face the fact, if they want to put something on your computer, they can do that also and blame you for it. That's just the way it is, folks. That's just the way it is. We just want to get over that. We lost our privacy many years ago, but especially since the internet came in. We totally lost our privacy. Yes. Any more comments on LD?
No.
Almost 70% of voters...
Yeah, I do want to say one thing.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just like anything else. We all knew that there was no privacy. But you know what? They rack us with convenience, and we take that over everything else that we know better for. We shouldn't have allowed it. We should have rejected it, but we didn't. There wasn't enough of us to reject it for those of us who knew what was really going on, because we also became a part of it. So
and it
that's
started my opinion big time when they started to quit using checks and started using credit cards. That was a big step in the direction of lack of privacy.
Yeah. And so, then they had the grocery store card. Oh, you get these bonuses.
Oh, yes. You get a discount here. Folks, we've all fallen for it.
Mm-hmm.
We all have, because it's so convenient. I hate it. I never did have a credit card. I've had a couple in my lifetime. I had a couple debit cards. But I don't like using them. I prefer cash.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Okay. National security experts urge no more weapons for Ukraine in New York Times. Okay. Last week, New York Times published a full-page advertisement signed by 15 U.S. national security experts about the war in Ukraine. It was headed, the U.S. should be a force for peace in the world, was drafted by the Eisenhower Media Network. While condemning Russia's invasion, the statement provides a more objective account of the crisis in Ukraine than the U.S. government of the New York Times has previously presented to the public, including the disastrous U.S. role in NATO expansion, the warnings ignored by the successive U.S. administrators, and the escalating retentions that ultimately lead to war. Now, folks, we've been warned by the successive U.S. administrators. We have. NATO expansion will lead to war, and it is coming down fast and hard. The statement calls the war an unmitigated disaster, and urges President Joe Biden and Congress to end the war speedily through diplomacy, especially given the dangers of military escalation that could spiral out of control. And, Melody, I don't hear any talks of peace, do you, from anybody?
None whatsoever.
Not a bit.
Nope.
The call for diplomacy.
And everybody has tried.
Yeah, really.
They tried to get together for talks. No. He's making too much money. Why would you turn away billions of dollars given to you by the United States?
Even though your population gets wiped out, why do you care?
Yeah.
This call for diplomacy by wise, experienced former insiders, U.S. diplomats, military officers, and civilian officials would have been a welcome intervention on any one of the past 442 days of this war. Yet several appeals now come as an especially critical moment in the war. On May 10th, President Volodymyr Zelensky announced that he is delaying Ukraine's long-awaited spring offensive to avoid unacceptable losses to Ukraine forces. Western policy has repeatedly put Zelensky in a near-impossible position, caught between the need to show signs of progress on the battlefield to justify further Western support and arms deliveries, and on the other hand, the shocking human cost of a continued war represented by the fresh graveyards where tens of thousands of Ukrainians now lie buried. Folks, the cost of war financially is horrendous, but the cost of war to innocent people is unbelievable. And only the most selfish, self-centered, egotistical narcissist in the world want war. Biden wants war. Zelensky wants war. Only the most egotistical maniacs in the world wants the war and watch innocent people by the tens of thousands or millions die for nothing. Anything else you want to say, Melly, before I move on?
I mean, war has been going on for, you know, since the beginning of time.
Yes, it had been, yes.
You know, but I mean, a lot of those wars were survival of the fittest to some degree. Territories, you know, where the countries were being created and so forth and whatnot. So there, but it was always, we're going to conquer, and there was always wealth involved. And look who all got hurt. You know, you'd have them, villages, you know, total destruction and so forth. And you're right. Yeah. It's those that, or the warriors and the people. It's never those of higher positions that are rarely ever impacted by war.
They're not sacrificed. I mean, there of course have been a few.
You're right, not sacrificed.
They're sacrificed. There have been a few, F-E-W, few wars that were necessary. Few, and very few, that for self-preservation. And I think Russia is in a war right now of self-preservation. I truly do. But that's, I'm not justifying anything here. I don't know both sides, I will. But I do know that every war that before my lifetime, even in this country, almost every one of them was called by lie. I can get into that, but I don't want to have time to now. Seymour Hersh, something else is cooking in Ukraine. Last Saturday, the Washington Post published an expose of a classified American intelligence document showing that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, working behind the back of the Biden White House, pushed hard earlier this year for an expanded series of missile attacks inside Russia. The documents were part of a large cache of classified materials posted online by an Air Force enlisted man now in custody. So this young man who's in jail, I don't know anything about him, but he told the truth, exposed some things, now he's in jail. Duh. A senior official of the Biden administration asked by the Post for comment, the newly revealed intelligence said that Zelensky has never violated his pledge never to use American weapons to strike inside Russia. In the view of the White House, Zelensky can do no wrong. Zelensky's desire to take the war to Russia may not be clear to the president and senior foreign policy aides in the White House, but it is to those in the American intelligence community who have found it difficult to get their intelligence and their assessments they are hearing in the Oval Office. Meanwhile, the slaughter in the city of Bakhmut continues. It is similar in idiocy, if not in numbers, to the slaughter in Verdun and Somme during World War I. The men in charge of today's war in Moscow, Kyiv, and Washington have shown no interest even in temporary ceasefire talks that could serve as a prelude to something permanent. The talk now is only about the possibility of a late spring or summer offensive by either party. But something else is cooking. As some in the American intelligence community know and have reported in secret, at the instigation of government officials at various levels in Poland, Hungary, and Lithuania, and Estonia, Czechoslovakia, and Latvia, these countries are all allies of Ukraine and declared enemies of Vladimir Putin. The group is led by Poland, whose leadership no longer fears the Russian army because its performance in Ukraine and left the globe of its success as Stalingrad during the Second World War II in tatters. It had been quietly urging Zelensky to find a way to end the war, even by resigning himself if necessary, to allow the process of rebuilding his nation to get underway. Zelensky is not budging, according to intercepts and other data known inside the Central Intelligence Agency, but he's beginning to lose the private support of his neighbors. So, neighbors who have been supporting folks, I just mentioned in other countries, I ask him to do something. He's ignoring them. Now he's losing support. Now to think that he won't use those weapons inside Russia is absolutely insane, and it would be insane for him to do it. He doesn't seem to care, does he, Billy?
Well, I don't know. This weekend I saw Biden give doing a press conference, and he said that with these F-16s that he gave his approval over the G7 meeting, he says, and he got a promise.
I got it right in the next article. That's right.
From Zelensky he would not use them inside of Russia. So
Zelensky gave flat assurance. American-made fighter jets won't be used to attack Russian mainland. Now, if you believe that, I got a big gold mine here in Mustang to sell you, Melody.
No, thanks.
You know, Nelly Risson. Okay. And by the way, what kind of... We don't have any kind of problem with debt budget, Melody, because we're getting ready to send another 375 million military aid to Ukraine. So what debt ceiling are, what are we worried about? We don't have any debt ceiling.
No.
What are you worried about? But to think that he won't use that inside Russia is absolutely insane, people. We're putting a nail in our coffin as a nation, because I'm telling you, if Russia decides to attack with nukes, and she may have to, it's going to be hell worldwide. It's going to be worse than you and I could ever imagine. Hungary blocks EU weapons aid to hostile Ukraine after leaks of alleged plan to bomb pipeline. Hungary, folks, is turning against Ukraine completely. Hungary has announced that it will block an EU military aid package for Ukraine, labeling the country as hostile after an alleged plan to blow up an oil pipeline leaked in the Western press. Hungarian government officials have expressed their fury at Ukraine in recent days, decrying the country as being hostile after the country's alleged plans to blow up an oil pipeline leaked in the Washington Post last week. A detail by leaks, Zelensky has reportedly been concerning an attack on Russia's Drunzbai pipeline that supplies oil to Hungary in what would appear to be an attempt to sabotage the country. Kyiv has also blacklisted Hungarian bank OTP, listing the firm as a sponsor of Russia's invasion, causing further anger in Budapest. According to a report by the Associated Press, senior officials in the Hungarian government say that they are blocking the EU attempts to send more weapons and ammo to Ukraine in retaliation for the blacklisting. We cannot support the allocation of another half a billion euros to the European Peace Facility for arms transfer to Ukraine, and we will not give it the green light as long as OTP is on this particular list, the country's foreign minister said. He also denounced Zelensky's alleged plans to blow up the Drunzbai pipeline, saying overall that there was evidence that Ukraine is behaving more and more hostile towards Hungary. Okay. What can you say? There we go, folks. It ain't over. Matter of fact, nobody's talking about peace. A few countries are turning against Ukraine finally after they see what's going on. But right now, as we speak, millions of people are crossing the border in other countries in the UK, and people are upset because they're coming in, but where are they going to go? They have to take them in. That's part of the UK rules. They got to take them in. So there we go, folks. We are in a bad, bad time, and Ukraine is suffering. When you see the city being bombed, remember, those are homes and businesses, and nobody can live anymore. Melody, I'm wrapped it up. You go ahead and close it out if you want to.
Well, I appreciate it, and you're right. It's terrible what's going on over there, and it's terrible that no one is trying. And they've tried. China tried. A couple of other countries tried to come together, have meetings, and so forth. And everything is just no one wants to meet. So they want this war. They're going to have this war, and with all this, the additional funds and weaponry and the F-16s, it isn't for Ukraine to use. It's for us to use for. When that war begins, they're just supplying it because that will be probably ground zero, I would think, Butch, wouldn't you?
I think so.
Yeah, so it's going to be ground zero. So, and they're right there on the edge for Russia. So 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
Day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.